Okay. The shiur this evening is co-sponsored first by Ben and Marion Tochman, marking the yard site tonight of Ben's father, Shlomo Yechezko Ben Ben Sion. Shlomo should have an aliyah. Shisim Ashnach Asurach Natarmis is in my Smtov, and the family is involved in. It's also a nice opportunity to be able to wish the extended Tochman Turkel family a Mazel Tov on the birth of a boy to Yosef and Esti a little bit earlier. Yesterday, as a matter of fact. Well, time flies. Be'ezes Hashem, they should see a lot of nachas from us. Be'yuzocha to me, to machnis from Lebrisla, shlavram avinu b'zmanu, megalot taro l'chubu l'mayisim tovim. The shiur is also sponsored by Charles Rubin in memory of his cousin Melvin Levin, Moshe Ben Yaakov. Shom should have an aliyah, should see much nachas ruach from the Torah, mitzvahs and mayisim tovim, the families involved in. I'll just also take a little bit of executive privilege. It's one of the things you get when you're saying the shiur bezes Hashem. We should, we want to, on behalf of all of us, be makir tov to Ribbono Shel Olam for having enabled our daughter Chava to have a baby boy this past Shabbos. The bris bezes Hashem should be beito bezmano this coming Shabbos. Shiva darchei Torah in Far Rockaway, and hodol Hashem ki tov ki l'olam chazda. We should all be zoche to see the chazda Hashem and to experience simchas and to share simchas with one another. Bezes Hashem. Okay, so there are a number of episodes described in Parshas Chukas which draw quite a bit of attention among the Mefarshim. Obviously the whole mitzvah of Par Aduma, which is introduced in the beginning of the Parsha, tremendous amount of discussion on that. The sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, the passing of Miriam and Aaron, all described in the Parsha. So I'm not going to talk about any of those things tonight. What we're going to talk about instead, Be'ezus Hashem, is a mostly neglected small parsha, series of psukim in Parshas Chukas, which we're going to talk about because it has a number of interesting comments from the Yonasan ben Uziel in terms of helping us understand this parsha. So Perek Chav, Pasuk Yudalid, right after the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu, whatever that was exactly, you find Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikodesh O Melech Edom. Moshe sends Malachim from Kodesh to the king of Edom. Kom Arachicha Yisrael. The Malachim convey the following message. Thus says your brother Israel. Right? After all, Edom is Esav. Klal Yisrael is descended from Yaakov. Yaakov and Esav are brothers. We're Achicha. We are brothers. Atu Yodato Es Kol Hatla'a Asher Mitzosnu. You know all of the difficulties that have befallen us. And he goes on to describe how the Jewish people were in Mitzrayim. Vayerdu avoseinu Mitzrayim, avaneshev in Mitzrayim yomim rabim. We dwelt in Egypt for many years. Vayorei elonu Mitzrayim v'lavoseinu. The Egyptians did terrible things to us. Vanitzak al Hashem vayishmaku leinu. We cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he heard our voice. Vayishlach malach vayotzienu mimitzroyim. Hashem sent a malach and he took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out of Egypt. So on that pasuk, vanitzak al Hashem vayishma kolenu. So the word vanitzak al Hashem literally translates, we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Both the Targum Unkelus as well as the Targum Yonasan ben Uziel translate vanitzak with the words Vitzalina Kodom Hashem, we davened before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, Tsa'aka, crying out, is meant as a kind of tefillah. So that's interesting, because many Mefarshim understand that when the cries of Klal Yisrael are actually recorded in the Chumash, when they're in Mitzrayim, in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, that Vatal Shavosam El Ho Elokim in Ho Avoda, the cries of Klal Yisrael go up to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Many Mefarshim, I think in the Nitziv in particular, but others write similarly, say that Klal Yisrael, when they were beset by all of the difficulties of Mitzrayim, they didn't have the words to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. They cried out in a very kind of primal sense, we hurt, bad things are happening. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to their, if you will, their primal scream. You know, they're crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't a tefillah.
in the way in which we normally understand that. They didn't put words together. They certainly didn't have a formal structure to their tefillah. They yelled out, "We hate this. We need to get out of here. You know, we're so hurt." You know, they said things like that. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to their primal reactions. It would seem, at least with the Targum Unculus and the Yonasan Ben Uziel over here, that they don't necessarily agree with that approach, but rather that they understand that the crying out of Klal Yisrael is actually a tefillah. In other words, they davened in the conventional sense of the word. V'nitzak al Hashem. Again, the Targum Unculus and the Yonasan Ben Uziel translate as V'tzalino Kodem Hashem. We davened to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Again, did they say Shmoneh Esrei? Did they say Tehillim? Okay, maybe they didn't say exactly the words that we're used to, but this was a formalized tefillah. It wasn't simply that they were letting off steam and the Ribbono Shel Olam responded to that. You know, there's really more of a tefillah going on over here. That's point one, number one, which I think is striking in both of the Targumim over here. But point number two, which I think is really striking, even more so, are the words Vayishlach Malach. So Hashem sent a malach, and he took us out of Mitzrayim. What does it mean that Hashem sent a malach, and he took us out of Mitzrayim? So Rashi over here writes, malach ze Moshe. The malach to whom we're referring is Moshe Rabbeinu. The word malach, of course, as we know, is a tricky word in Lashon Kodesh. Malach translates sometimes as an angel, but very often just translates as a messenger. So the Ribbono Shel Olam sent down a malach to Mitzrayim. Who's the malach? So it says Rashi, it was Moshe Rabbeinu. He sent an emissary. He sent a, you know, a shliach. He sent a messenger to take us out of Mitzrayim. Fine, right? And that's Rashi goes on to say, Mikan shehanaviim kurim malachim. We see from here that a navi can be referred to as a malach. Fine. The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel does not translate that way. He says as follows, V'tzalino kodem Hashem v'kabel tzlosono. We davened before Hashem, and he accepted our prayers. Right. By the way, that's identical to the way the Targum Unculus translates the phrase as well. HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepted our prayers. V'yishma kolenu. He accepted our prayers. And then he says as follows, V'shadar chad mimalachei sheirusa. Then Hashem sent one of the malachei asharis, one of the ministering angels, V'han pakano mimitzrayim, and he took us out of Mitzrayim. In other words, according to the Yonasan Ben Uziel, Vayishlach Malach, Hashem sent a Malach, doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't mean a flesh and blood individual. There was one of the Malachi Ashores who was assigned to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. Now the truth is, on the simple level, that's a pasuk. What's that? Yeah, okay. But on the simple level, that's a pasuk, that's actually an explicit pasuk earlier in Chumash, the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach. Vayisa malacho Elokim, haholeich lifnei machne Yisrael, as the Jewish people are traveling out of Egypt, the malach Elokim, the angel of God, who was traveling before Klal Yisrael, traveled in front of the Jewish people and led the way. So the truth is, you know, the translation of the Yonasan Ben Uziel over here, one could argue, is really the simple pshat if you put together the pasuk in B'Shalach with the pasuk over here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent a special malach, a malach in the angelic sense of the term, to take us out of Mitzrayim. Yeah.
There's a difference between leading us once we're already out of Mitzrayim,
to take us out of Mitzrayim. Okay. You can make a chiluk. But you don't have to make a chiluk. In other words,
except if you want to say that the last plague, even if they started out with that, they would start immediately.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. You could say differently, but the point is that the Yonasan Ben Uziel says that there was a malach Elokim. In other words, one of the malach Asharis. That's his lashon, right? It says chad mi malach sheirusa, one of the malach Asharis, an angel, was sent to help take the Jewish people out of Egypt. Now, that doesn't mean that the angel was the only player over here. Clearly, Moshe was also sent to take the Jewish people out of Egypt, but there was, you know, there was a special malach who was assigned to this mission.
Yeah. This is the Russian concentrating on that one, as opposed to leaving itself.
Okay, but again, you know, the point that Rashi is bringing out is when the pasuk says Vayishlach Malach, maybe there was also a Malach, but that's not what's being described over here, right? In other words, you know, the question is, who's the Malach? You know, will the real Malach please stand up? You know, who's the Malach who's being you know, described here in the pasuk? So according to Rashi's Moshe Rabbeinu, according to the Targum Yonasan Benuziel, it's a Malach, an angel, you know, in the sense of that term. So this whole discussion between Rashi and the Yonasan Benuziel is actually summarized in the Ibn Ezra. The Ibn Ezra over here writes, Vayishlach Malach Kimashmo. What it sounds like it's saying, meaning that the Malach was a Malach, is what it means. If it walks like a duck, it talks like a duck, it's a duck. It said, the pasuk says, he sent the Malach, so he sent the Malach, that's what it means. And then he says, not only over here, V'chena Kosuv Omer. There's a pasuk in Yeshaya, towards the end of Sefer Yeshaya, Perek Samach Gimel. This is actually one of the haftaras that we read towards the end of the summer. Umalach ponov hoshion, a malach saved them, meaning Klal Yisrael and Mitzrayim, with his ponim, with his face. That's the way the Ibn Ezra understands the pasuk, right? So in other words, according to the Ibn Ezra, it's the pasuk in Yeshaya references the fact that a real malach, an angel in the literal sense of the term, was involved in taking the Jews out of Mitzrayim. It's interesting, you know, why doesn't he quote the pasuk in Beshalach that we quoted before? I don't know. I would think that's even a more direct way of identifying a malach. Maybe like David mentioned, maybe that's already when they left Mitzrayim. Maybe, you know, he wants to say that there was a malach already there when they were in Mitzrayim. Okay, maybe. V'rabim pershuhu al Moshe. Many, continues the Ibn Ezra, say that this pasuk is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Vayishlach malach means Moshe Rabbeinu. Who are these rabbim? Well, at least one of them is Rashi. Right? You know, obviously there are others because he says rabbin, but at least one of them is Rashi. Ve'emzos daiti, says the Ibn Ezra, but I disagree. I think when it says a malach, it means a malach. Now, where does the Targum Unculus come out over here? So the Targum Unculus is interesting because from the Targum Unculus on the surface, we may not have a clear sense of what he holds. When the Pasuk says, Vayishlach malach, so the Targum Unculus translates that as Ushlach Malacha. Ushlach Malacha is just the Aramaic translation of Vayishlach Malach. So on the surface, whatever ambiguity exists regarding the word Malach in Lashon Kodesh, you have the same ambiguity with the word Malacha in Aramaic. So on the surface, the Targum Unculus, you'd say, is not necessarily taking a side. But I think one could argue that maybe the Targum Unculus actually is siding with the Yonasan ben Uzziel. I mean, first of all, I don't think this is a raya, but the rest of the pasuk he does interpret like the Yonasan ben Uzziel. But I think there's a stronger proof that maybe the Targum Unculus agrees with the Yonasan ben Uzziel that the malach in the pasuk is an actual malach. Why? Because if you go back to pasuk Yudalud, it says Vayishlach Moshe Malachim Mikodesh al Melech Edom. Moshe sent Malachim to the king of Edom. So what are those Malachim? So those malachim, presumably, are not angels, but rather they mean messengers. And in fact, both the Yonasan ben Uzziel and the Targum Unculus on that word malachim translated as izgadin. Izgadin means shluchim, messengers. So you have the word malach appearing in close proximity within a couple of psukim. The first time the Targum Unculus translates it as izgadin, messengers. And then the second time he translates it as malacha. I don't think it's so far off to suggest that the second time when he says malacha, malacha means a malach, means an angel. And in that sense, the Targum Unculus is also agreeing with the Yonasan ben Uzziel and the Ibn Ezra against Rashi that, you know, what's being described over here is that an actual malach, an angel, was sent by the Ribbono Shel Olam into Mitzrayim as part of the, let's call it the Exodus team, you know, that was meant to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Okay, so that's one discussion that we have over here, where again, if you read the Unculus by itself, I don't know that you necessarily come to this conclusion, but if you put it together with the Yonasan ben Uzziel, and you know, you compare the two usages of Malach within a couple of psukim with one another, I don't think it's a big stretch to say that he's hinting at this idea, which the Yonasan ben Uzziel says explicitly. Right, so you could argue like that. In other words, you know, that there are three levels over here. There's messengers, there's angels, and then somewhere in the middle is, you know, a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. You could argue like that. Enochinami, but what I'm saying, I don't think it's conclusive, but I think it's plausible. Let's put it that way. I don't think you have to say it that way, but I think it's a plausible reading, and, you know, maybe even the simpler way to read the Targum Onkelos. Again, we know that there's already a tradition in the Yonasan ben Uzziel that reflects the fact that it was an actual Malach that was said. So I don't think it's off base, you know, to suggest that the Targum Onkelos was saying the same thing. Another interesting Yonasan ben Uzziel comes a little bit later on, as Moshe Rabbeinu, through these messengers, continues to speak to the Melech Edom. He makes a proposal. Pasuk Yitzayin, Nabro Nabi Artzecha. Let us pass through your land. Lo Navur Besada Uvecherem. We're not going to pass through field or vineyard. Velo Nishta Meve'er. We're not going to drink any of the well waters. Derech HaMelech Neilech. We are going to take the way of the king, which presumably means the highway. We're going to take the highway. Lo nita yominu small ad asher navor gevulecha. We're not going to veer off from the highway, right or left, until we pass through your land. What's the point that Moshe Rabbeinu was making to the Melech Edom? Basically, on the simple level, he seems to be saying, let us through your land. We promise not to cause any damage. What do you mean we promise not to cause any damage? We're going to stick to the highway. We're not going to go off the highway into your fields to take your crops, to take your grapes. You know, we're not going to even take your water. We're not going to steal anything from you on the way. We're just going to pass through. We're going to walk with blinders on our eyes to the left and the right. We're not going to deviate. And we're not going to harm in a physical way anything in your land. There's a simple pshat in the pasuk. The Yonasan ben Uzziel comes with a really unusual way of interpreting this pasuk. Ni'ibar kadun be'aroch. Let us pass through your land. Lo nishargiga besulon. We are not going to entice any unmarried women. V'lo nenos arison. And we're not going to rape any betrothed women. Right? So right off the bat, I mean, this is a non-literal interpretation of the pasuk. But what does it mean, lo navor besoda uvekerem? We're not going to pass through the field or the vineyard. That's a lashon nekiyah. It's a euphemism. Moshe Rabbeinu was telling the Melech Edom, we're not going to mess with anyone in your land. What do foreign armies do when they walk through a country that's not theirs? Unfortunately, they take advantage of the women. So, lo navor besada ubekerem, we're not going to touch the fields, we're not going to touch the vineyards, means we're not going to do anything to harm, you know, the women of your country. V'lo nishta mei be'er, we're not going to drink any well water. So here too says the Yonasan ben Uzziel, what that means is lo nivol nishei guvrin. We're not going to have relations with any married women. Again, it's a euphemism. We're not going to drink from the well water. We're not going to bother any of the women, whether they're single, whether they're betrothed, whether they're married. We're not going to bother anybody. B'derech hamelech neilech, we will walk in the way of the king, says the Yonasan ben Uzziel. What does that mean? Ba'orach malko divishmaya nezel. We will walk in the path of the king, not the king of Edom who built the highway, but the king, capital K, the Ribbono Shel Olam, Malko Divishmaya, the king in heaven. We will walk in his path, meaning we will conduct ourselves properly as we go through your country. We're not going to do anything untoward or bother anyone, you know, as we go through. It's a totally different way of reading the pasuk. Right? Why did Moshe Rabbeinu feel the need to focus on this of all things? In other words, the pashut of pshat is we're not going to cause you any harm. We're not going to steal your stuff as we go through. Right? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu feel the need to reassure the Melech Edom that we're not going to do anything to your women, married or otherwise? Unfortunately, we know from what Chazal described concerning Esav, is that Esav himself had no such reservations. Esav was quick to be Boel Eshes Ish, Chazal tells us. He was quick, to be intimate with a married woman. So we could imagine that the country that was descended from Esav, probably also, this was Maisa B'choyom. This is just the way people live. People take advantage of other women, right? So it would be expected for the Jews going through Edom to act to the Bnei Edom the way the Bnei Edom themselves assume that people are going to act. So Moshe Rabbeinu wants to emphasize to the king of Edom, we don't act like that. Maybe you guys act like that, but we have a totally different way of working. Derech HaMelech Neilech. We walk in the path of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We have a different set of rules. And Moshe Rabbeinu wants to stress that to the Melech Edom. It's not just about that we're going to not harm you in any way. That's not just his point. His point is, we're different. Even as we're going through, we're a different, type of people. The king of Edom refuses, of course, to allow the Jewish people to go through, even after Moshe Rabbeinu asks him again. So we finally read in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayimoyen Edom, Nisonis Yisrael Avor Begvulo, the people of Edom refused to allow Klal Yisrael to pass through their border. Vayet Yisrael Me'olav, so the Jewish people had to veer away and not go through. On this last phrase, Vayet Yisrael Me'olav, so the Yonosan Ben Uziel writes, Usita Yisrael Milavase, the Jewish people veered away from him, from Edom, Dahabu Mefakton Mikodem Memor Dishmayo, because the Jewish people were here. The Yonosan Ben Uziel adds, because the people of Klal Yisrael were commanded by Hakadosh Baruch Hu, Delol Misadro Imahon Sidrei Krova, not to wage war against Edom. And as in theory, Klal Yisrael could have waged war with Edom, and they could have won, but they were told by the Ribono Shel Olam not to wage war with Edom. The time had not yet come to take revenge against the people of Edom. Right? Which alludes to a Rashi that Rashi writes at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Dvarim, Perek Beis. Right? The Pasuk says, Kilo eten lochem atiskaru bam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu concerning the people of Edom, don't wage war against them, don't start up with them. Kilo eten lochem e'aretzom ad midrach kaf rogel. I'm not going to allow you any of their land ad midrach kaf rogel. So the simple pshat and what that phrase means is I'm not going to allow you even to set foot in Edom. Ad meaning in the sense of I won't even allow this little bit. But Rashi over there brings from Chazal that ad midrach kaf rogel, the word ad can be interpreted in the sense of until. I won't allow you to wage war to start up with Edom until that time where Va'olu Moshiach Va'artzion Lishbo Nisar Esav, until Moshiach comes and we're given the right to fight against the Bnei Edom at that particular time. So that's how this whole episode concludes. Just want to share one more Yonasan Ben Uziel, where we know that Klal Yisrael complain about the Mon a little bit later on in the parasha, Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Hey, Vaydaber Ha'am Be'elokim Uvu Moshe, Lama Ha'elisunu Mimitzrayim Lamos Ba'amidbar, why'd you bring us out of Egypt? Ki'ein Lechem Ve'ein Mayim, V'nafshenu Katsa Ba'lechem Ha'klokel. There's no bread, there's no water. We've had enough of this light bread, this mon that you've given us. So the Ribbono Shel Olam sends nechashim, he sends snakes against the people. Right? And they start biting the people. So why snakes? So the Yonasan Ben Uziel writes as follows. Bras kol nefalas mishmei meroma. when the Jewish people complained about the Mor, a baskol, a heavenly voice, came out of the heavens. V'chein amaris, and it said as follows, Esun chamun kol b'nei nosha, kol tovavon davaris la'amo. You take a look, all, you know, take a look, all you people in the world, all of these wonderful things that I've done to my nation. Right? The Ribbono Shel Olam speaks to the nations besides Klal Yisrael. He says, take a look at what I've done for Klal Yisrael. Asekes Yaschon, Krikin Mimitzrayim. I took them out of Egypt. I redeemed them. Achesis Lahon Mana Min Shemaya. I brought down Mon from the heavens. V'chadun Chazar V'sramu Oilavai. And now look, they're complaining against me. So that's so terrible. And consider the following. This is all the Baskol that continues to speak. V'hochivya. Consider the snake at the very beginning of creation, the snake that enticed Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. The Gzaris Aloy Min Yomesh Sheiroi Alma. So I made a gzera, I made a decree against this snake from the very beginnings of the world. Afar Yehevi Mezone, your food will be dust. Felo Yisrael Milavai. The snake didn't complain against me. Go back to say to Pashas Bereishis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'ofer tochal kol yemei chayecha." You'll eat dust all the days of your life. We don't find the snake responding. The snake, I'm sure he wasn't happy, but you know, the snake just says, "Okay." You know, he accepts. He accepts the gzarid din. He accepts the decree. So va'ami Yisrael mo'am izon hon. Compare that to my people. The snake gets to eat dirt, and he has nothing to say. He accepts it. The people get to eat mud, and they're kvetching. How could that be? V'chadun yesun chivayu din Yisramu amizonon, v'naksun yasamu disramu amizonon. So let the snakes who did not complain about their food, and they had pretty lousy food. I mean, you know, so go to the caterer, you know. The food tastes like dust. That's because it is dust. What do you want? It tastes exactly the way it's supposed to taste, right? You know, it's, you know, they, but the snake didn't complain, so let the snakes come and take revenge against the people who are complaining when they're given this wonder food called mon, and still somehow they're not satisfied with it, right? So that's, you know, that's everything that, you know, why nechashim specifically, why snakes specifically. You know, that's because it's really showing the people that they had a lack of hakara satov. You know, the snake accepted his lot in terms of the food. Why can't you accept your lot as well? That's Mefarshim explained. The pasuk says, "Vayishalach Hashem ba'am es hanechashim hasrafim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the snakes with the definite article, the hey ayidia. What do you mean the snakes? He sent snakes. What the snakes? Which are the snakes, which have been, you know, you use the word the, it implies that we know about these snakes already. So this is not the same snake exactly, but in other words, the snake was already played a role in, you know, in world history before. The snake, the Nachash HaKadmoni, the snake, you know, back from Gan Eden. So HaNechashim, these snakes that are still operating, you know, based on the way he operated, the ones who were still bearing the gzeira that was made against him, they should take revenge against the people. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, we should be zocher to share simchas together. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Rabbi Chanan ben Kasha Omer, Ratza HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakos is Yisrael, Lefikach Hirbo Lahem, Torah U'mitzvos, Shenemar, Adonai